everybody, and welcome to Bounties and Blasters. I am your host, Brad Whipple from the Friends of the Force podcast.
And I'm Madison from Doing Talking.
And we are here today to discuss The Mandalorian on Disney Plus. However, there are no new episodes. You're probably wondering, why are we back here talking about The Mandalorian? Well, folks, there is some really juicy news that has come into the Mandalorian discourse as of late. So we felt it was a good idea to bring back the show to kind of give you whatever big news has come out of this show and just discuss it briefly to give you guys some content to hold you over in the meantime during these tough times of quarantine.
Yes.
What better chance to listen to podcasting about Mandalorian than now?
Exactly. You can't see me right now, Brad, but I'm like happy dancing over here because I'm so excited to talk about this.
How you been doing, Madison? It's been a while, right?
Good. Especially good since yesterday.
Well, I'm excited to resurrect the series in the meantime because I think it's fun.
Nice word choice.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's a good time to bring back the series and just kind of do a check-in. You know, obviously The Mandalorian doesn't come out until October, but we felt it'd be fun to just do a little shorter episode. And with that being said, we're just going to cut right to the chase, Madison. The first news story: Robert Rodriguez and Peyton Reed have joined The Mandalorian as directors. So this is pretty exciting. On May the 4th, last week, they announced it on their Instagram. Robert posted a photo next to Baby Yoda, puppet Baby Yoda especially, on the Razor Crest. And Peyton Reed posted a picture of his director's chair and the Mandalorian helmet on top of it. Looked pretty caked in dirt, which makes me think he's doing some sort of big action-y episode, but
Din's going through it.
Yeah. He's getting put in the ringer again with another mudhorn.
Yeah.
With these two guys added on here, this now accounts for 7 of the 8 season 2 directors. So we have Jon Favreau, we have Dave Filoni, Carl Weathers, Robert Rodriguez, Peyton Reed, Rick Famuyiwa, and rumored to return to the series is Bryce Dallas Howard. So 7 out of 8, we're kind of waiting to see Bryce get confirmed, and then one more director, which I'm hoping is a woman, because so far we got a lot of guys in this lineup, and I obviously think we need more diversity in screenwriting and directing, so I would like to see it. But Madison, what did you make of this announcement and kind of how season 2 is shaping up to look directing-wise?
Well, I'm very excited about Peyton Reed in particular because I'm a big fan of the Ant-Man films, especially the second Ant-Man film. It was really good. So yeah. I'm excited to see how he handles Star Wars because he handled the characters in Ant-Man and the Wasp so well, the family dynamics, and you really felt the heart of that story. So I think he's going to be a perfect fit for The Mandalorian, where it's all of it is centered around kind of a father and his new son, a clan of two.
This is a family show, Madison. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. But like you, I'm also hoping for at least 2 female directors like we had on season 1. I loved having Bryce Dallas Howard and Deborah Chow, but unfortunately, Deborah's probably not going to be involved with the season because she's a little busy with a little show about, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. So hopefully they'll bring in another woman because their episodes in particular really resonated with me, especially Deborah's episodes. So yeah, I hope they bring in someone new at least.
You know, you bring up the fact that Peyton Reed did Ant-Man, but we're honestly forgetting the fact that he also did Bring It On in 2000. And he also did Yes Man with Jim Carrey in 2008. Also 2 excellent films. So all I'm saying, Madison, is if Din Djarin doesn't break out the pom-poms in like episode 3 of next season and is competing against Moff Gideon in a cheerleading competition, I'm going to be very disappointed.
He's going to be cheering on Kara as she like beats up dudes.
As she fist fights a certain returning bounty hunter.
Yes.
He's going to be her cheerleader. It's great. I want it. I want to see it. Yeah, it's really cool though to see Reed, another MCU director, especially after Taika come into the picture. It is a lot of fun to see kind of that crossover there and see, you know, maybe what a MCU director can do in the Star Wars universe. Mm-hmm. And clearly Taika did a great job, and now we get to see Jon Favreau direct because he was busy with The Lion King at the time, so he didn't get to do too much besides writing and producing. And obviously Dave Filoni returning, and Carl Weathers, who surprisingly, I didn't know this, has 25 years of directing experience.
Wow.
So he is not unfamiliar to the art of filmmaking. So I would like to see him do an episode. I don't know if he'll do it on like Grief Karga, because I know a lot of times when people direct episodes when they're also the actors, it's typically a like heavily involved episode about their character, you know, because it kind of gives them that creative vision, both of how they portray the character and also how they, you know, block the character in the frame. So that could be really interesting.
Yeah. And I got to say, like, after watching the first two episodes of the docuseries, I trust Carl Weathers with my life when he has like started going off about Joseph Campbell. So I think we can trust him. He knows what he's doing.
Well, this is actually a great time, Madison, to plug our Patreon exclusive series. So if you are a fan of Friends of the Force and Doing Talking, you can head on over to either of our Patreon feeds where you can listen to our newest series, This Is the Way It's Made, where we discuss the greatest pun we've ever come up with, folks. But we'll be discussing every week the Disney Gallery, the Mandalorian series, where we go behind the scenes on the show and talk about whatever new tidbits that we learn, or talk about what the directors and the cast are saying, because there's been a lot in just two episodes that have really given me and Madison hope in the future of Star Wars storytelling. And I think that is something that I'm trying to hold on to as best I can nowadays. So
yes,
make sure you head on over to our Patreons and join and support our shows. So that'd be great.
Yes.
Now the big news story of the week, take it away. I'm going to give you the honors.
So I was just, you know, going about my day yesterday, average day. And then Brad texts me out of nowhere and it's a headline from the Hollywood Reporter that says Tamara Morrison joins the cast of The Mandalorian season 2. Returning as Boba Fett. suddenly my whole world is turned upside down. Like, oh my gosh, I've been waiting for this moment for a long time, as Kylo would say. Like, we've been speculating about Boba Fett coming back since episode 5 of The Mandalorian. And we were pretty convinced by the very specific sound effects they were using that we thought these have to be clues, or else it's just a cruel joke, right? So
right.
I'm just
We were talking about this in December.
Yeah.
December, yeah, chapter 5. Crazy.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like something that in the back of my mind I was expecting, but yet actually having it confirmed still just like threw me for a loop. Like, oh my gosh, this is actually happening. Boba Fett. And now I'm going to restrain myself, but I have like my extended conspiracy theory that I was just talking about on The Last Missions the other day. Also check that show out if you're a Clone Wars fan. But yeah, I think Tamara Morrison might be playing more than one character in this season.
Yeah. To see him return to the Star Wars universe is very exciting. Obviously, after playing Jango Fett, it's kind of weird to think about him now playing his son, you know. Yeah. 18 years after Attack of the Clones, and his first appearance 15 years since Revenge of the Sith. So, you know, what comes around goes around. Star Wars is a cyclical thing.
Yeah, and I mean,
no one's ever really gone, Madison, especially when they jump into the Sarlacc pit.
Yeah, and I mean, we did see him play the clones too, like in Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, right? Like, we see Cody with his helmet off and everything. So it's like, he's already done a turn as a clone before, so here it comes.
I would love to see Captain Rex live action, and they'll age Tamora up a little bit, give Rex that old grizzled look. And you know, we didn't really address the Ahsoka rumors, but obviously there's a rumor that Ahsoka may be joining the Mandalorian season 2, which if that's the case, I would imagine Rex is with her, and who better to teach Din Djarin the ways of evil sorcerers than a sorcerer herself, along with somebody that is not a sorcerer and can kind of build that trust between Din and Ahsoka, maybe, and then help Baby Yoda find its home.
Yeah.
Which I would imagine that would be their serving purpose.
Yeah, and I did mention this on The Last Missions too, but I just keep clinging to that piece of what looks like concept art that Dave Filoni currently has as his Twitter header. He just casually, you know, changed his header out of nowhere, right? And it's Ahsoka and Rex on Loth wolves or some kind of wolves. And it's clearly in the style of Mandalorian concept art. So,
which even though that concept art came out, I think it was Celebration 2015. It was like the Jedi VIP artwork for their badges.
Oh, I
didn't
know that.
It's still very peculiar, though, that he just kind of out of nowhere makes that his Twitter header. Like, why that specific image, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's known for teasing things. He's known for, you know, the Ahsoka Lives shirt with the question mark and then turning into an exclamation point. So he likes to make people talk. He likes to make people speculate. That's probably his favorite thing to do, is stir the pot of the fandom and get us all curious. But yeah, to get this news, you know, I always like when we acknowledge the prequel's existence, because oftentimes in the last couple of years, it's felt like we have forgotten about them, or they have been forgotten by Lucasfilm. And I think for the longest time, you know, we looked down upon them, or at least many fans did. I didn't personally. I really like the prequels and it's what I grew up with, but I think it's kind of a taboo thing to hate on them. And then when the sequel trilogy came around, it was like, yay, we get to see Star Wars, how it connects to the OT and feel like it with the practical effects. But Phantom Menace was actually the movie in the saga that used the most miniatures and practical shots.
Yep.
And I just love this prequel renaissance happening. We might be getting Temuera Morrison. We're getting an Obi-Wan series with Ewan McGregor. We might apparently be getting Hayden Christensen somewhere. I don't want to go too much into that rumor because it is a really off the wall rumor, but the prequel renaissance is a thing, and I love to see it because it's all Star Wars and we should acknowledge that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, as a fellow prequel stan, like, I'm living right now. I am loving.
Plus the Clone Wars too, obviously.
Yes. Which is a big hit. So I hope that Disney, Lucasfilm start to have a bit more faith that, like, hey, fans love and are hungry for more prequel content.
Yeah. And the High Republic, especially, you know, we're getting that 200 years before the prequel trilogy. So I'd imagine once that project tells its story, it's going to connect to the prequels somehow. Madison, if Boba Fett is in the Mandalorian, which we've speculated for quite some time, we would be led to think that he is the one at the end of chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
who either rescues Fennec Shand if she's not dead yet, or just finds her dead body for reasons unknown. Why was he out there and beyond the Dune Sea? We don't know. But how would he fit into season 2 from your perspective?
Oh man. There's so many possibilities. What's most interesting to me, I think, is them drawing a kind of contrast between Boba Fett and Din Djarin, because I see so much potential here for Boba to be kind of a foil for Din, because Din's journey is all about him going from the hardened, isolated bounty hunter to super soft dad. Mm-hmm. He's got Baby Yoda in his care now. He's making friends like Kara and Greef Karga, I would even say, to some extent. So he's learning about kind of that found family. That's such a big part of Star Wars. But Boba could be such an interesting contrast in that, one, he's a lot older than Din Djarin, isn't he? Or actually, no, I think I'm getting my timelines mixed up. I think he's just a few years older than Din Djarin, possibly.
Well, and Boba, too, ages normally, because that was one of the requirements from Django.
Yeah, I think I did the math a while back, and he's like, they're both in their 40s, I think, possibly. Mm-hmm. And Boba's like a few years older.
Right. Yeah.
So actually, that's even better than I was thinking. They're kind of around the same age, so they're really going to be parallels of each other in a way, and opposites, because I think Boba at this point might be in a totally different place of, like, more hardened by the experiences he's gone through. And still kind of that isolated bounty hunter figure. And maybe, like, I'm sure we'll see him take off the mask at some point, because it's Temuera Morrison, so I don't think they're going to waste that opportunity. But I think there could be an interesting contrast there of, like, Din is more humanized. Maybe he takes off the mask more, or again, you know, because we did see his face finally at the end of season 1. And maybe Boba doesn't take it off much or at all. Like, I don't know. But another thing that I'm interested to see is their relationship to Mandalorian culture. Because Din is very connected to his clan that's kind of been, like, mostly destroyed now. So what does he do? Because they've brought the Darksaber into this, which is kind of like this major symbol of Mandalorian heritage. Who's going to pick up the saber? Because right now it's in the hands of an Imperial, former Imperial, Moff Gideon. So we can only assume it's going to end up in a true Mandalorian's hands by the end of season two, maybe, or maybe even three if they drag it out longer. But I'm just interested to see like how Boba is going to fit into this, because he's a clone of Jango Fett. He was not really, we don't know, like, see, because in the EU, Jango was a Mandalorian, I think, but I think in the new canon, it's not confirmed. Like, maybe he just has the armor. We don't know if he's a legit Mandalorian or not, but I think he actually speaks some Mandoa in Attack of the Clones when he's talking to Boba. So if they go the route of like Boba's trying to reclaim Mandalorian heritage, like that could be really interesting. Does he want any part of that, or is he trying to kind of distance himself from it? I think this could get so interesting, and I'm gonna stop talking now so that Brad gets a chance to talk.
No, I'm just listening so happily, and I'm just like la la la, like I love this. Like I'm just in my own world listening to you, and it gets me excited by the possibilities. I think Boba would be such a great foil for Din Djarin, because you, of all the reasons that you said, you know, these two guys aren't true Mandalorians. You know, Din was adopted into the Creed and Boba never really got close to that. He's actually somebody that also never had a family because his father was killed in the arena on Geonosis, and Din Djarin's parents were also killed. So you have both these characters that come from similar backgrounds and have had probably some similar experiences, but their trajectories after the fact are so completely different. And what did Boba go through in the Sarlacc pit? What did that mean to him? Did he have time to reflect? Would we see some sort of flashback of the struggle that he endured while he was in there? Or did he meet somebody in the Sarlacc pit? I think of Robot Chicken, where I don't know if you've ever seen the Robot Chicken episode where Boba falls in the Sarlacc pit and he's like, oh yeah, he's like, the guy's like, how'd you get in here? And it's just one of Jabba's sail barge guys. And Boba's like, yeah, well, there was like 300 Jedi and they were all chasing me and I was going bang bang bang, shooting them, and then I just decided to jump down here just for the style points, and then I threw a grenade and then boom, and then they all died and now I'm down here. And then he turns around and just goes and the guy's like, are you crying? And he's like, no. And they end up doing like origami together and they're having a good time and they're telling stories about and it becomes this whole thing. And I just, like, I'm wondering, like, did he meet somebody in the Sarlacc pit? Like, what's it like down there? Is it like an open area that you're sitting amongst garbage, like the garbage chute in A New Hope? Is it kind of like that before you're digested? Like, it just kind of makes you think, you know?
Wow.
But yeah,
I was just struck by like a major parallel between Maul and Boba Fett, because Maul falls down that huge pit and then ends up in the garbage and then literally gets taken to like a trash planet where he's like stewing away for years until Savage finds him. And I guess I'm wondering, like, are they going to go more of the Maul route with Boba, where like Din would be more like Ahsoka, and Din and Boba have a lot of similarities between them and a lot of parallels, but they end up taking a very different journey. Is it going to be like that and Boba goes the more villainous route? Or, like, as I'm sitting here thinking, are they going to go the other way and Din and Boba become like unexpected allies and maybe even brothers? Like, how cool would that be?
Imagine Boba and Din Djarin fighting over the darksaber to get it from Moff Gideon. There's like a three-way battle.
Right? That would be so
cool. And then you throw
cool.
Ahsoka in the mix. That would never happen, but imagine them all fighting.
Ahsoka's watching from the sidelines with popcorn.
Yeah, all right. But then you also still have the possibility that Bo-Katan could appear, which I'm like, okay, but I do love all these characters returning to the show, but I will put the disclaimer out there that I really don't want this show to become an all-star thing. You know, I don't want it to become just a whole bunch of cameos. How many people can we cram into a single season? Because I think some of the magic of The Mandalorian is it is an unfamiliar story with some unfamiliar characters that we are growing to know more about. So if you start to throw too much in there, you really dilute it and make the universe smaller. So my precaution is to really limit it and make sure that if you're adding these characters into the story, it means something. It's not just about, you know, an excuse to get characters on live action or to bring certain characters back. But I trust Dave Filoni enough that if he were to make these moves and bring some of these characters into the fold, it's going to be for a reason. I don't think Boba Fett's going to be the primary driver of the season. However, mm-hmm. I think he could be there in Din Djarin's life, even for an episode or two, to help him on his journey, whether it is by just being a foil and contrasting Din Djarin's strengths to Boba Fett's weaknesses or whatnot. That would be really, really compelling. And that's kind of leads me to my next point of there's a lot of hate for Boba Fett out there.
Yeah.
And I understand it because traditionally I think Boba Fett really falls into the sort of weird dude bro mentality that a lot of dude bros have liked Boba Fett. But to kind of counter that, a lot of dude bros like a lot of characters that we all love too. Like they're, you know, there's
like Han Solo or Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's always going to be a bad crowd of people that like certain characters, and some crowds might seem louder or more passionate than other ones. And I think that's been the case with Boba. It might just seem that the dude bros are really loud, but like you and me, Madison, like we are definitely not dude bros.
Nope.
In the Star Wars fandom. We are Raylos. We are somebody that loves Ben Solo and loves compassion and loves redemption stories in Star Wars. And we understand the mythology, and we don't really fit into that category, but we just love Boba Fett. Like for me, I loved him because he was mysterious. And growing up as a kid, I always wondered who that guy was in the background with the armor. And he always kind of fascinated me, and I loved his action figure. So like, that's my attachment to Boba. But I do think if Filoni is adding Boba into the season, it's going to be for a mythic reason. He has built up enough trust in my own fandom to make the right choices. And he understands Star Wars, as we've seen from the docuseries.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And like, so many people, it seems, are hating on Boba because, well, he's just a guy who looks cool. He doesn't actually do anything, or he doesn't have a story. And I'm like, first of all, watch the Clone Wars. There's some good stuff in there. Second of all, give him a chance. Like, if that's your point, he hasn't done anything yet. Wait until he does. Wait until you see him in The Mandalorian, and then make your judgment if you think the character is interesting to you or not. Because a lot of people are just disliking him because a lot of people do. It's almost like kind of a rebel thing of like trying to be contrarian just for the sake of it, like Boba Fett's overrated so I don't like him or whatever. Like, give him a chance, see what he actually does when he plays a big role, or maybe a kind of a small role in a story. We don't know the scale of it yet, but wait till you see him in action, see if you like him or not. Because we've only seen him as a kid at this point, because in the OT, you're right, he doesn't do much. But in the Clone Wars, from what we see of him there, I find him extremely compelling.
Yeah, and think about the expectations heading into Mando Season 1. We all thought it was going to be an appeasement to that dude bro crowd. We thought, here's the show about bounty hunters that they've always wanted, and they're going to get it. You know, that's cool. They're going to have their thing, whatever. But what it ended up truly being was something that was not that at all. It is a show about family, about Mando, who initially is this hardened warrior, having his whole life shaken up to the point where he becomes softened on the inside and embraces the feminine in some ways. And it's very mythological and tied to the hero's journey. So it definitely has so many connections to the foundation of Star Wars. And if we have that same mentality with Boba, where we have those expectations, I wouldn't doubt that our expectations would be thwarted once again, and we would be surprised, like you're saying.
Yeah, the Mandalorian was a Trojan horse. Like, it totally was. Because I remember seeing all the marketing and the trailers and going like, oh, wow, so this is going to be like kind of the darker, gritty, like hardcore bounty hunter show for like, I guess the dude bros. Like, I thought I was going to love it too, but I kind of thought, you know, maybe it's more angled toward, aimed at the male fans who are kind of into all this stuff. But then when you actually sit down and watch it, you're like, oh, wow. Like, you start to realize, right, like you just said, you're taking these really kind of a hyper masculine character like Din Djarin and showing all the men watching that it's okay to actually be vulnerable, to have emotions, to want to have connection, to, it's okay to not want to be the tough guy who's always alone. Like,
right,
this show is a Trojan horse in the best way possible. So I just see limitless potential for bringing someone like Boba Fett into the story and potentially humanizing him even more than we've previously seen. And that makes him even cooler because he has all that depth and layers and vulnerability.
And to be very clear, Madison, we could very easily be duped. You know, this could just all be a way to give an excuse to put Boba Fett in the show. Like, that is definitely a possibility. I don't think you and I aren't saying that isn't a possibility, but I think it is way more likely that it is truly for some important mythic reason. And Dave Filoni has never been one to appease fans or to just like give them stuff because they want it. I mean, everybody was against Darth Maul coming back initially too. And look how that turned out. You know, there is some quote that stuck out in the docuseries, which I'll only bring this one into Bounties and Blasters. If you want to hear more on our thoughts, go check out our Patreon. Jon Favreau says, "You're taking all these characters that are cool and fun and the action movie, shoot 'em up, and it turns into something with heart to it. And to me, that's part of what makes a Western. It's that there is some emotion that runs through it, even though you think it is just about shootouts and the OK Corral and jumping from the horse to the wagon, but really it's about humanity." So yes, Boba Fett does look cool and fun, but if he's brought into the show, it's because there's going to be some sort of humanity that we're shown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to keep in mind, like many characters in Star Wars, he's a boy who watched his father get killed right in front of him by a Jedi. So how does that affect him going forward, you know? He's a kid growing up without a father, without a mother. He has no family. You got to feel for him, and you got to you got to look at him as a character who is like Din, who also lost his parents at a very young age in the midst of a war, the same war, actually. So it's like, wow, major parallels here. I mean,
yeah, definitely.
If you're going to have sympathy for a character like Ben Solo, you got to have sympathy for Boba Fett also. Because different situations, but also kind of similar. Someone who Ben actually had an even easier upbringing than Boba did, because he actually had his parents there for a while, even though he felt kind of neglected by them from his point of view. It's boys with complicated relationships with their fathers or father figures. That's such a major topic in Star Wars. And so I can't help but think that's going to be, whether it's like actually addressed outright or just kind of something we're thinking about in the back of our minds while we're watching, it's like, how does Boba deal with what happened to him, and how does Din deal with what happened to him? How do they develop differently? Are they going to end up kind of finding a kinship in that, or is it going to end up driving them farther apart because Boba refuses to, I don't know, kind of change his habits like Din has?
Yeah. I'm excited to see how he's involved. And again, I think it's just super important to know that. I know a lot of people are feeling like this could go south, but it's okay to have some trust, especially in Dave Filoni. And I think he has earned that throughout the years. And I'm excited to see how he integrates all these different characters and all these different actors that we're hearing about joining the show. And I'm really looking forward to season two, because season one defied my expectations, and we have no idea what season two is going to be about. We don't know what direction it's going to be. I'm just really excited to go along another journey for The Mandalorian, because it's one of the things in Star Wars that has just given me the most hope for future storytelling, because it has been so just A+. You know, it's truly in the pantheon for me of Star Wars, and I cherish it.
Yeah, totally. I couldn't agree more.
And I will say, Madison, have you ever read the Boba Fett books, the Boba Fett series for young readers back in like 2000, early 2000s?
No, I think the only Boba books that I read were like part of the Legacy of the Force series, because I was a big fan of like New Jedi Order and Legacy of the Force. I read a lot of those books, and he had some interesting stuff as like kind of older Boba Fett. But no, I haven't read the series you're talking about.
Well, my recommendation to you and to anybody listening is, if you can get your hands on the old Scholastic books, there's six of them about Boba Fett. The first two were written by Terry Bison, and books 3 through 6 were written by Elizabeth Hand. And these are books that take place during Boba Fett's teenage years, between episodes 2 and 3 as well. And it kind of explains how he becomes Boba Fett.
Cool.
I have great memories with these books. They're really quick reads. They're like 150 pages each. It's super simple, but they're just a lot of fun. So if you're looking to just enjoy yourself, it's a great read. I'd recommend it.
I'll definitely be checking those out.
Yeah. Well, with that being said, Madison, that brings us to the end of this quick episode of Bounties and Blasters. You could call it the emergency episode. Yep, we had to make an emergency pit stop on our journey to season two.
Yes.
And podcast. Where can our listeners find you in the Doing Talking podcast?
You can find me at doingtalking.com. You can also listen on Spreaker, iTunes, and YouTube. My channel is Maddie Solo. You can also follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Doing Talking Pod. And as we discussed before, Doing Talking also has a Patreon where you can find our behind the scenes kind of discussions about the Mandalorian documentary. So you can find that on my Patreon at patreon.com/doingtalking and Brad's as well.
So as for Friends of the Force, find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, as well as YouTube, where Madison and I may also be doing some more live streams in the coming months when The Mandalorian returns. So stay tuned and make sure you're subscribed there as well. And we are also a part of the Star Wars Escape Pods Network, which aims at promoting positivity in the Star Wars fandom. So that is all for this episode of Bounties and Blasters. You may see us back within the next couple months when there's another major news story to cover. I'd imagine, Madison, once we get our first trailer for season two, we'll probably reconvene to do a giant trailer breakdown or something of that
sort. Yes, can't wait.
So, yeah, August can't come soon enough. If Celebration does or does not happen, time will tell, but we'll definitely, that's probably the next time we'll be back on your podcast feeds in this format. And I can't wait till season two. We only got four to five more months.
I can't believe it. It's getting here really fast, actually.
Yep.
All right, Brad. Well, until next time, this is the way.
This is the way.